Hello, and welcome to Orange Full Year Results for 2023. My name is George. I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note, this conference is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be in listen-only mode. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions towards the end of the presentation, and this can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I would like to hand the call over to your host today, Koen Van Mol, Director of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Our apologies for this slight delay that we had due to some technical reasons, but now we can start. So I would like to welcome you to the presentation of the results of the second half year and the full year of 2023. Here with me are Xavier Pichon, our CEO, and Antoine Chouc, our CFO. As usual, you should have received our financial communication this morning. In any case, you can also find all the relevant information on our corporate website. A Q&A session will follow right after Xavier's and Antoine's introductory statements, and I will now leave the floor to Xavier.
Thank you, Koen. So hello, everyone. Hope you're well. Welcome to this analyst call for 2023. So we'll start with slide number three, I guess. So 2023 has been, definitely been, a crucial and pivotal year for Orange Belgium. A major event is undoubtedly the acquisition and the integration of VOO. The milestone event has made us stronger in the market and has significantly reshaped our strategic landscape. Following the acquisition, we embarked on a journey to transform our organization into a unified entity, operating as one company. Our goal has been to maximize value creation and materialize synergies resulting from this strategic move. Looking ahead, we have been laying the foundation of our Lead the Future strategy, which is designed to propel us forward in the ever-evolving market landscape. So regarding this, and as it comes to slide number four, so our first pillar of our Lead the Future strategy centers around establishing ourselves as a leader in multi-gigabit networks. As we already announced earlier, I'm proud to say that we have made a significant stride in these directions. We have achieved a remarkable milestone whereby we are the first operator in Belgium, with 95% of households now enjoying very high broadband speeds up to 1 gig, thanks to our relentless focus on network infrastructure and expansion. Additionally, on our mobile network, we've made substantial progress in the deployment of 5G technology, with 30% of our sites now equipped to deliver the next generation of connectivity. Our investment in a new 5G core SA further solidifies our commitment to staying at the forefront of network innovation. Moving on to the second pillar, we placed a paramount importance on delivering exceptional customer experience across a multi-segmented ecosystem approach. Just after the closing of the acquisition of VOO in June, we have made significant strides in this area. We have transitioned to operating as one unified operator, streamlining our commercial strategy and adopting a unified go-to-market approach. Furthermore, our strong and complementary brand portfolio enable us to accommodate to diverse customer needs and preferences, enhancing overall customer experience. Our third pillar underscores our commitment to being a resilient, modern, and responsible company, guided by strong human and ESG values. We are proud to announce that nearly 100% of our people now work within our One Team organization, fostering collaboration and innovation across the companies. Furthermore, we have exceeded our digital inclusion ambitions, ensuring that everyone has access to the digital resources they need to thrive in today's connected world. Additionally, we are on track with our CO2 reduction target, demonstrating our dedication to environmental sustainability and corporate responsibility. Thus, moving to the slide number five, I will provide an update on the integration of VOO. This acquisition has been a significant strategic move for us, and I'm happy to report that our integration efforts are progressing according to plan. Since the acquisition, our teams have been diligently working to ensure a seamless transition for both of our employees and our customers. We are focused on aligning our operations, system, and processes to maximize efficiency and unlock synergies. With our combined strengths and shared vision, we are well positioned to capitalize on the opportunities that lie ahead and deliver even greater value to our stakeholders. A major element in the integration of VOO is the consolidation of our operations to act as one operator on the market. This strategic alignment allow us to streamline our resources and present a unified presence to our customers. By operating as one operator, we can leverage our combined expertise, infrastructure, and resources to deliver enhanced services and experiences to our customers. This approach also enables us to optimize our market position and drive sustainable growth in the competitive landscape. This commitment to unity and coherence underscores our dedication to delivering value and excellence across all facets of our business. We have established also a common and aligned network strategy. This strategy ensures that our infrastructure investments are coordinated and optimized to deliver the highest quality of service to our customers while maximizing operational efficiency. Furthermore, we have aligned our commercial operations and objectives to create a cohesive approach to market engagement. By aligning our sales, marketing, and customer service efforts, we can better meet the needs of our diverse customer base and drive revenue growth. To support these initiatives, a new organization structure has been put in place to enhance efficiency and agility. This structure enables clearer communication, faster decision-making, and improved collaboration across teams, ultimately driving better outcomes for our businesses. Our synergy plan, which outlines the specific actions and initiatives to capture value creation, has been confirmed and is operationally on track. By executing this plan effectively, we will realize the full potential of the VOO integration and deliver maximum value. That being said, I will now pass the floor to Antoine, who will give you more details either on the commercial and the financial results for 2023.
Thank you, Xavier. Hello, everyone. Thanks for attending this call. So let's take a look at our key achievements of 2023. Our positioning, our more for more approach, and our complementary brand positioning contributed to a very good commercial results. We have increased our mobile customer base by 4% on a comparable basis, reaching about 3.3 million customers. We didn't have such an increase of our mobile customer base since the beginning of 2020. During the year 2023, we increased our cable customer base by 5.5%, reaching almost 1 million customers. These results contributed to an increase by 4.6% in total revenues, which reached 1,750,000,000, whereby the retail service revenue grew by 6.2%. Because of the increase in retail service revenues and tight cost control, and despite the inflationary and energy prices impacting over the year, we were able to stabilize our EBITDA to 451 million euros. Comparing on slide 8 our results to our guidance, we see that we have on a comparable basis a growth of 4.6% in our revenues. Our outlook originally guided to low single-digit growth in comparison to 2022, which we clearly achieved. When looking at our EBITDA, we are slightly above our initial guidance that was between 430 and 450 million. And when it comes to eCapEx for the year 2023, we landed at 304 million euros, an increase in comparison to 2022, mainly following the implementation of the RAN sharing with Proximus, the implementation of the 5G network, as well as the upgrade of our cable network to a gigabit network. Nevertheless, we remain clearly within the guidance range we provided, which was between 290 and 310 million euros. On slide 9, when looking at our customer base, we can see that we are approaching 1 million of cable customers, combining Orange and VOO customers. From a a comparable basis, we've increased our base, as I said, by almost 6%, and our mobile customer base by 4%. On slide 10, our revenues have increased by 5.9% for the semester, reaching a bit more than 1 billion euro, mainly following the growth in retail service revenues. These service revenues increased following our more-for-more approach in our retail offers, as well as thanks to the growth of our customer base. And our wholesale revenues decreased because of the decrease in incoming traffic, both in voice and SMS. But as you know, this has no real impact on our EBITDA, as the traffic is very, very balanced. Our equipment sales and other revenues also increased over the year. On slide 11, we have the waterfall for our EBITDA for the second semester of 2023. The stabilization of our EBITDA was driven by an increase in revenues for 56 million euro, which permitted to offset the increase in costs that we had in comparison to last year. Our direct costs increased mainly because of the increase in volumes. So increase in labor has been a consequence of the mandatory indexation of the wages in Belgium. And we also an impact on our indirect cost, as I just mentioned, because the high energy prices we had over the year. On slide 12, we increased our eCapEx by 4.1% on a comparable basis, mainly following the implementation of the RAN sharing agreement, the rollout of 5G, and the upgrade of VOO's network towards gigabits. On slide 14, let's look forward to 2024. So we, in terms of EBITDA, we foresee guidance is around between 515 million and 535 million euros. And total eCapEx is expected to be between 365 and 385 million euros. With this, I conclude this presentation. I'm more than happy to answer all your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question is coming from David Vagnin of ING. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. First, on the 2024 guidance range, the EBITDAL, can you elaborate on the different scenarios, include the factors in the range concerning Digi? So, and in particular, whether you expect them to launch a fixed offer or not in your scenario. Secondly, on the CapEx, can you come back on the step-up for next year, so also concerning the guidance, so 2024? Can you explain the step-up in eCapEx? I understand it's mostly HFC-related. So can you guide us and explain us whether HFC requires even more investment beyond 2024? And how could you elaborate a bit on the split, let's say, between maintenance and pure network upgrade in 2024? And first question, on the cooperation discussion for fiber, could you describe the progress that are being made? I understand we're getting close to the soft deadline set by the regulator in May. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Hi. So maybe on your first... I would say market-related question. Of course, I guess that, and you can imagine that we won't disclose any specific topic that have been embarked in our plan. Of course, what I can do, and in the forefront of what we have experienced in the past across the group, that as we already said, we know what is a fourth entrant, or what is a newcomer, I would say, because we experienced that in our several footprints across Europe. We know what could be, of course, the strategy of these bodies, but actually we don't know what will be the choices that will be made by the newcomers. And I said that there is not only Digi coming up, but also, you know, Telenet in the south as well. So we have embarked, of course, some impact in this guidance, but we won't disclose anything on that moving forward. Maybe on your question number two, and I will let Antoine having some specific potential information on that. But of course, we have planned to starting FTTH rollout, as we said in the past. We do have a kind of agnostic technical policy for customers, which means that now we are we do have the leadership in terms of very high broadband all across the country with our 95% one gig coverage. And of course, we will start, of course, rolling out fiber, but also on this topic, we won't disclose any specific strategy. Just said that we'll do that, of course, in the course of our what could be splitted across either the country in the south, but also that could be something we spark. Sorry. So again, on David, on your point number three, so we've always said, and we've been, of course, in favor of encouraging potential collaboration in the south, of course, and then the south of Brussels as well, with either partner or operator on the FTTH rollout. So far, we don't have any, I would say, precise information to give to you and to the market. One thing is, of course, we will start in 24 rolling out the deploying the FTTH in our footprint, and then as said by Antoine, also to invest on active equipment in the north. But so far, okay, we can't provide any specific information on that side, on the collaboration with potential partners.
Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you much, sir.
And maybe Antoine, about the, let's say, a bit the normal normalization of CapEx going forward. Let's say, what is does HFC require more investment also beyond 2024?
After 2024, the we will have a slight increase of our CapEx, even if we don't give a formal guidance, but it will be linked to FTTH rollout and not HFC modernization.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What we'll do now is we'll move to our next question, which is coming from Nicolas Cote-Colisil, calling from HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. Just back on the guidance. I appreciate you can't provide all the moving parts and all the details, but can you tell us if you have synergies or rather integration costs embedded in your forecasts for EBITDA? And also, if you can remind us what would be the average price rise expectations for 2024, and would you expect this to translate into additional EBITDA, something we haven't seen in 2023? I've got another question about kind of a long-term or kind of a philosophical question about your assets and the control you may have in theory, whether you are more inclined to keep control of your cable/fiber and mobile towers in the future. And I may have a follow-up question after that. Thank you.
Maybe we'll start with the last one, Nicolas. Hello. So, of course, I say the moment where we are at the moment is much more focused to I would say, invest to take the leadership either on the fixed and mobile, of course. So this is why we decided to buy this asset, of course, as a HFC. We will, we will speed up. We have speed up a little bit on the Doxis 3.0 installment to make sure that we will keep the leadership. And then, so the question to us is at the moment to make sure that we will keep the leadership, but also the ownership of this asset. This is very, very important. You know that elsewhere in the group,
this is something we can count on. And the question would be in Belgium to replicate this strategic, of course, position and to make sure that we will lead the future in terms of gigabit network. So broadly, I guess now we are moving forward on keeping this leadership in the future to first finalize and I would say the handsharing operations on the mobile to make sure that also we'll have the 5G deployed across all the regions, but also on the fix to continue to modernize and expand a little bit the network on HFC and then invest on FTTH. So this is why also this ambition is nationwide across all regions, thanks to also the agreement we signed with Telenet Wire in the north.
And so just on the HFC and the expansion you just mentioned, is that like the 95% going to 100 or is there something else?
I guess what we said a couple of weeks ago is we aim to maybe move a little bit from 95 to 97.
Okay.
Or I would say 98 at least, but we won't have 100%. And of course,
sure.
This is not affordable in terms either on cost and ROI. So this is it. But having maybe much more, 97 would be a big deal in terms of value creation and position of leadership.
Got it.
Regarding your first two questions, the first one on synergies, of course, we have a significant bucket of synergies embedded in this guidance. We completed at the end of 2023 migration of all VOO mobile customers on Orange networks, and that was successfully done, and we are very, very satisfied of this achievement. We are delivering the first purchasing synergies. Of course, it's still the beginning, and we are far from the run rate of the purchasing synergy in 2024. But it's already quite promising. And so yes, we have a very nice positive impact of all the, I'm talking of net impact of all the synergies in 2024, and most of the integration costs you mentioned were booked in 2023, so it should be rather limited in 2024, except for maybe a few IT capex linked to some IT projects that are linked to the integration and that will enable us to unlock further synergy in the future. On your second question, yes, we had some price increase at the beginning of the year, always in our compliance with our more for more strategy, so we give more value to our customers in relation with this small price increase. What I can tell you is that, yeah, it will have a positive impact on our margin in 2024 compared with 2023, where we had major cost impact due to inflation and energy price hike.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you. And so my follow-up question is on what you announced back in November about this 25% of VOO. So you said you were to issue new shares, 11% eventually, to Nethys to buy the minority stake. Can you just help reconciling the 279 million liability you still have on the balance sheet? Because I can't reconcile that with the lower value embedded in your market cap. So just to understand, what am I missing here?
I won't comment in detail this transaction because all the surrounding governance is currently being done. So we have the independent directors who were assessing the transaction, where auditors are assessing the transaction, and the board didn't We'll still have to review the world documentation, etc. So we will provide you with all the relevant information on this transaction, I hope, in March, because all the documentation would be disclosed at this moment. What I can tell you specifically regarding your question is that the equity value of VOO at closing, which is the 279 million euros that we have in our balance sheet also, and that we disclose. This includes significant synergies that will be this includes all the synergies that we embedded in our purchase price for VOO, including some synergies that are, that will be realized and captured at Orange Belgium level. Especially the notably the all the MVNO related synergies. That means that when you have to assess the fair market value of VOO to define the exchange ratio and the 11% you mentioned, we can't value this synergy at VOO level, and we value them at Orange Belgium level. So that explains most of the difference between the fair market value of the equity value of VOO and the 279 million euro.
Okay, so it means that sometime in March, when the deal is completed and agreed with the board and so on, eventually these 270, well, there could be some upside here.
Well, if I mean,
well, you don't have to answer. Okay. I think it's not a fair question.
There won't be upside on that on this topic. This topic will be treated, I would say, including the fact that there will be some exchange between VOO and Orange for the Nethys minority stake. Of course, they will become minority shareholder at OBE, and then this 280 million euro will be treated as well. But it is something that will be, I would say, as Antoine said, disclosed in March. But there won't be any upside on that side.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicolas. And talk soon in March. We hope. Yes.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Our next question will be coming from Joshua Mills of BNP Paribas Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. Thanks for questions. A couple from me. The first is, could you provide us with the pro forma revenue, EBITDA, and CapEx basis for 2023, assuming that you were consolidating food for the entire 12 months rather than just for 7? And I'm just trying to use that to work out the underlying growth, which is implied by the guidance, because if I take the run rate of the second half EBITDA, for example, it looks like the guidance for 515 to 535 million of EBITDA next year is assuming a decline. And the second question is, again, similarly related, but it looks like on a comparable basis, EBITDA growth and in broadband net adds weakened this semester versus first half of the year and then the second half of last year. So it'd be great to get a bit more color on what's happening to the underlying growth and the mix shift within the base. Are you seeing continued strong broadband net add growth on Orange Belgium and losses at VOO, or have both the Orange Belgium and the VOO broadband net adds slowed down relative to last year? Thanks.
I was. Thanks for this question. On I think we already disclosed the pro forma for 2022, yeah, for the whole year of so it can give you an idea, and we will have a nice EBITDA growth year on year if we on a comparable basis, and if we value Orange for the VOO for 12 months instead of 7 months. So the EBITDA, pro forma EBITDA is a bit less than 500 million. I think it's for
for 495 million euro for 2023 when it comes to EBITDA. So if you compare it with our guidance, you see that we have a nice EBITDA growth, but we plan to have a nice EBITDA growth over the years. For the, when it comes to the net adds, we have, slightly, it's true that we have slightly less, net adds at full level, in, S2 2023 compared with S2, 2022. But it's not very very material. It's offset by better net adds at Orange Belgium level. So that's and that's also that could be also explained by the migration of full client to our mobile customer base. This is a mobile network, means that the focus one was more over the last semester on this migration and on the management of the customer satisfaction all over this journey, rather than on new customer acquisition. But it's we are still very very satisfied with the VOO performance in terms of upselling to their fixed broadband customer base, upselling some mobile offers.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Our next question is coming from Konrad Zomer of ABN AMRO Oddo. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on energy prices this year. They've come down significantly from the peak a while ago. Do you have any idea what the year-on-year impact would be on your EBITDA in 2024 versus 2023? And my second question, it does come back to your guidance, and I know you've already talked about it in two previous questions, but it's a bit difficult for us to assess what the breakdown is of what is included in your guidance. So maybe you can clarify again, what's the full year consolidation effect of the additional 5 months of consolidation this year? What do you intend to achieve in synergies and what the underlying growth is for your existing business, please? Thank you.
Thanks, Konrad. For the first question, we'll have a very positive price effect when it comes to energy prices this year compared in 2024 compared with the prices we had in 2023. Where, by the way, we are entirely now entirely hedged for 2024, and the EBITDA impact year on year should be around 6 million euro, because this price effect is partly offset by the volume impact, means that we consume, we plan to consume more, a bit more energy year on year because of the, notably the 5G rollout and 5G antenna consumed. As you add more bandwidth on your network, you also have more energy needs. So, but the net impact will be around 6 million euro. That's quite quite positive. Yes, I understand it's quite difficult for you to assess all the to have a full breakdown of our guidance. But as you as Xavier said at the beginning of this call, we can't disclose all our, I would say, business assumption on the market for 2024. We can't disclose this detailed breakdown. We have some market impacts that are more than offset by our synergies and our more for more approach. That's what I can tell you.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any questions or follow-up questions, please press star one at this time. We'll move to Roshan Ranjit of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Morning, everyone. Thanks for the questions. I've got two, please. I was going back to the guidance and on CapEx. I know you highlighted the upgrades of the fixed network, but you also highlight the RAN investment. I guess that's part of your mobile JV and any equipment fit out. Is it possible to just give us a sense of what part of the step up in CapEx comes from that component, so the mobile JV investment, please? And secondly, I guess we haven't got any ARPU trends, of course, given the VOO integration, but can you just give us a sense of how that has tracked in comparison to your price increase? I think price increase last year was 5%. Should we, has that been a direct translation through to the ARPU, bearing in mind the dilution that you can have from the VOO base? Are they moving across to some of your own OBEL plans as well? Anything you can say there will be very helpful. Thank you.
Well, thanks. You can, for the first question regarding our guidance CapEx and the split between what comes from the fixed network and what comes from the RAN investments, you have more or less 40% of the increase linked to the RAN sharing and 60% coming from all the fixed network. And when I say fixed network, it also it includes customer equipment. It includes the rollouts, the start of fiber, etc. So it's a bit less. It's 35%, 65%. You can more or less. On your second question, we won't disclose our ARPU forecast for the year behind the guidance. But what I can tell you is our price increase in the beginning of 2023 translated into ARPU just according to the plan. We didn't have significant downsell following the price increase and the more for more after the more data allowance. So we had obviously a bit less out of band of consumption, but also part of the plans to reduce the out of band from our clients so that they don't have any surprise at the end of the month. But all in all, yeah, it all went according to our initial forecast for 2023.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks
very much, sir. We also now have a follow-up question from Nicolas Cote-Colisson of HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry, it's going to be a short one. Just to make sure I got the number right, can you just repeat the pro forma EBITDA for 2023 you mentioned earlier?
495 million euro.
495 million, okay. And just another easy question. You don't provide any more the convergent customer base, neither the ARPU for the different products. Why is that? Why are you reducing the disclosure on that front?
Nicolas, globally, I would say roughly speaking and globally across this particular year that we will enter, I would say, in 24. Sorry to be a bit deceptive on several, items. We talked about network gigabit with the spread with HFC fiber. We talked about our market potential assumptions. 424 and all these newcomers and this, of course, disruptive environment that we could face. And in the line of that, okay, we decided to shrink the number of items that we disclosed. Sorry for that. We know that it's a bit hard for you guys to live with, but this is it. You know that this particular year, 2024, will be different. And then... So that was a decision we made for several items we disclosed in the past. Sorry for that.
No, completely understand that. Just wanted to check it was the reason why. And a very short one. Any upfront cost ahead of Telenet taking your wholesale offer in Wallonia? I'm just wondering if there are any fixed costs that are upfront costs on your side.
Not much. We are working well with Telenet, and of course we will respect our obligation from them. But there is no major cost issue on that.
Okay.
And totally, of course, embarked in our guidance for 2024 and on that side.
Obviously. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We also have a follow-up question from Joshua Mills of BNP Paribas Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi there. It's similar to that last one. I just wanted to check. I may dispute I've missed this, but have you actually disclosed that pro forma EBITDA in any of the documents? And if not, could you also give us the same numbers, if you can, for revenue, service revenue, and CapEx in 2023? It would just be a really helpful way of thinking about modeling the growth on a pro forma basis for 2024. Thanks.
Yeah, it's not disclosed yet. Of course, it will disclose all this information when we publish our 2024 results in July, and of course in Feb 2025 to enable this comparison.
Are you obviously given the number for EBITDA? Would you be willing to give a number for revenue as well, so that we can help with this with our modeling?
What I can tell you is that we will have a slight increase of our revenues over year on year, and including this performer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mills. Ladies and gentlemen, as we have no further questions at this time, I turn the call back to the organizers for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
We still have some questions which are coming from the chat, which are from Ganesh Nagesha from Barclays. So the first question is, what is your view on the regulatory co-investment framework? Are the discussions underway with your peers? And the second question is, will VOO network modernization will be largely complete in H1 24? Could you please provide some color on progress so far?
Yes, thanks. So on your first topic, so as we previously said, so we were, of course, encouraging in the past some open discussion, and in every single, I would say, areas, including very dense, mid-dense, and rural areas. So this is something moving forward, but we won't disclose specific information on that at the moment. And maybe on your question number two, sorry for that, with VOO network, will be largely complete? Largely, yeah, as we said, so we are working on, having, and of course, on the short-term basis, but also on the long-term basis, the network leadership in terms of gigabit and then multi-gigabit speed in the future. So, of course, we will continue to either modernize and expand, as I said, from 95 maybe to 97 or something like this, our footprint in the south of the country. I'm not so sure that it will be totally complete in H1, but I think 24 and maybe last mile in 25, as said by Antoine, HFC network will be done. The future is much more colored on the FTTH network investment and potential co-investment. Thanks a lot.
Okay, as there are no further questions, I would like to thank you for the participation in this analyst call. Would you have any follow-up question later on? Don't hesitate to contact us for any more information that you would need. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's presentation. Thank you for your attendance. You may now disconnect. Have a good day, and goodbye.